again, a covering is never dictatorial. A covering, the moment a covering tells you what to do, then they've ceased being a covering. A covering is the place you go if there's trouble, if you feel out of the rest. And we can be totally secure that for all of us, God is our covering, and we can run there and be at rest. But for the time, our faith is being perfected, there are the coverings of marriage, the coverings of Bible study, the coverings of the body as a whole, the coverings of the greater body of Christ. There are places that we can go and know that we're secure. And the more, this sounds crazy in some sense, but the more that there is a history of a continuance, like for us the feasts have become very important because they've been celebrated. The Passover has been celebrated for 3,500 years. It's the oldest continual thing. The other feasts have been celebrated almost that long. And so those feasts and the way we organize, the idea that there's the minions and the Bible study groups and the Seder groups, the way that the elders work, the way the deaconesses work, these are all things that have been tested by thousands of years of time. And so we're not out there flopping around. And it's like what somebody says about me or about us out there can't affect it. But the opposite happened today. What? I can't imagine something that could remove our covering. It's been tested. It's consistent for thousands of years that this weird thing we are. The thing that's so weird is what we are was the normal Christian life for the first 100 years of the church. What we are was the normal Judaic life for 2,000 years before that. I mean, 1,500 years before that. So, I mean, we're not something strange. This is, there's witness after witness after witness that what we're about is anchored through this thing that the anchor is all the way into eternity and it's securely anchored there. And we can be secure enough to say, take your best shot. You can say to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. Not only, in some ways, we encourage it to take your best shot. You know what I mean?
No kidding.
What do you mean, we?
What?
Yeah, you separated yourself again.
But that's what all of us have done in our whole lives, but it's been accelerated recently, that we've thrown away things that didn't meet, they couldn't anchor us, they weren't the covering. So we've thrown away thousands of things and people and you know, and we're still not through throwing away. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're discarding that which doesn't stand the test of time. But I was flooded with sorrow about what it must be like to live without a covering. They couldn't understand that I report to the board of directors. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit from Romans. Romans 12. Starting 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. That's why we always have to be in a position of abandonment of self.
And his ways past finding out? What is that saying?
You can't figure it out.
You don't know what his way is tomorrow. You know, anybody that tells you this is what This is what God's going to do tomorrow, is lying.
You do this and God will do
it. You see where the people in Korea said the whole world's going to come to them?
Oh, it was all over the place.
They were all in their life and it didn't happen. And God said, well, gone.
After they'd given him all their money.
Sold everything they owned, their houses, quit their jobs.
Missed it by that much.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Now, I want you to understand how your mind talk is trying to be God's attorney. You understand that? God hates attorneys. But your mind talk, rather than being in a position of prophesying and giving all, whatever is there, you calculate. And you calculate with the same carefulness that an attorney does to protect his client. This accuser of the brethren has but one function, and that's to separate you and give you a feeling of being separate from God and separate from the brethren. That's his only fundamental job. And he'll use every trick in the book. He'll use every trick in the book to convince you that he is God's counselor. Only Harry.
Incessantly,
only if you, all you have to do is fire the son of a bitch. Any time he starts, just say, talk to my father about that. But any time that there is any reason, any feeling of justification, and the stronger the feeling of self-justification, the stronger the feeling that you are in, you're going to get your due, or need your due, the more he succeeded in his job. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. What's the highest thing that's esteemed among men?
I'm right.
The Psalms say, if you do well to yourself, they will speak well of you. That's because it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy of an Antichrist to cause any form of you doing well for you, and they will speak well of you because it justifies their own sin. It justifies their own self-seeking. Do you understand that no political system is a friend of this message? Because every political system has as its core some type of betterment of the individual as its core belief. Otherwise, it couldn't be a political system. And all political systems originate in the mind of Satan for the purpose of controlling by the instrument of making you feel separate. Therefore, you have to do things so that you won't be separate. All advertising is based on that. All commercials are based on that. Do you understand? It's total. It's pervasive. It's everywhere. Everyone is trying to be God's counselor to benefit you, to convict, but you understand, if he can make you think that he can benefit you or that you can benefit yourself, by definition, you're separate from life. If you know that you are joined to the Lord and you are one spirit, what in God's name do you need? What can be a benefit to you? You're already at the top of the food chain. Every instrument that causes you separation, that causes you grief, that causes you heartache, that causes you any of these things has as its core something. This counselor has made you feel separate. All kinds of wonderful self-justifications. Innumerable closing arguments to make you convinced how righteous you are. How right your cause is, how right those thoughts are. And they are all pure iniquity. Because they have as their core that the resurrection of Christ didn't work. And therefore you're separate from God. It doesn't matter whether it's illness, it doesn't matter whether it's poverty, it doesn't matter whether, whatever it is, whatever you think you need, then you give. And in the giving of it, you will be fulfilled. You need friends? Give friendship. Do you need love? Give love. But this lie of separation has to be cut, the axe has to be laid to the root tonight. Because all of the bullshit that goes on here has that as its primary cause. You've lived in this closed system your entire life, a closed value system with you as the center. And you think you are the center and that you have to seek to protect yourself because you believe that you're separate from life and have to do something and have to protect yourself. Am I communicating? Who has known the depth and the riches and the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, so it shall be recompensed unto him again? You understand that your mind thinks, your mind takes faith and makes faith or the walk or whatever it is a commodity for you to get something. So you think that you first give to him and then he gives to you. It's evidenced in your tithing or your lack of it. It's evidenced in your offerings or your lack of it. Your selfishness and your belief system in this lie is evidenced in the entire way in which you handle your life. How do you break it? How do you break through that system? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Well, then you might say, well, my propensity to be selfish is of him and from him and to him. Yes, it is. Just like in the womb, there's birth and afterbirth. The propensity to be a self for self is the afterbirth of the womb of time and space. For any reason, any time that you are living self for self, the guarantee is that if you stay in that position, you'll be the afterbirth of creation. How do you get out? Repentance. Abandonment of self. I beseech you, because we just said, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I don't have to review all of that. A sacrifice never chooses its place of sacrifice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or yield your bodies, your whole self, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is a sacrifice. It's not, I yield myself as a sacrifice so I can get something. You get nothing. You get dead. Sacrifices get dead. That's why no one understands this, because no one knows the law. They create all, well, I've got my altar in my little prayer closet, you dumb. The only altar in the universe is the altar that it's called Masbach, and it's where you go for the place of slaughter. I'm going to present myself this living sacrifice, because this is why. This is what I'll get if I do it.
Is there any place in the scriptures that says God doesn't want our sacrifice for our obedience?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
obedience is better than sacrifice.
Isn't that the same thing? Isn't the scripture talking still about the same thing?
It's the same thing. Obedience, hearing under. That's what the evidence that you've picked up the sacrifice, so that you've become the sacrifice. Again, the word obedience in Greek and Hebrew means to hear under, to hear that this is the rest, the finishness, no matter what conditions exist. That's the evidence that you've made the sacrifice.
So it's really going one step beyond the sacrifice, not to see yourself sacrificed and
right.
Let it be approved.
I have learned, in whatsoever state I find myself, therewith to be content. I have learned to be abased. I've learned to abound. I've learned that everywhere in all things to be content. Now, the key phrase in that is I have learned. Prayerfully, you've discarded all these other little things. You know, my God, if you can't learn to be content in whatsoever state you are here, where the word is preached, where there's the opportunity for it constantly, where the opportunity is to, I mean, if you're ever in a state that isn't at peace, there's always somebody you can go to and pray through. Again, the old saints used to call praying through. It doesn't call praying through to get something, it's praying through so that your heart is at peace. Present yourselves. Present your bodies, present your total being a living sacrifice, holy. The act of making that commitment, saying, Father, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, makes you holy. It's a legal term. Because spiritually, when you say, Father, I am yours without condition, you have touched the altar. And anything that touches the altar is holy, not because of the moral condition of that which is presented, but because of the altar. I mean, if that weren't the... Do you understand? If we didn't know that whatsoever was presented on the altar and touched the altar was holy, and if it didn't say that over and over in the law, we'd be without hope. We would have to play the game. We'd have to act. We'd have to get converts to justify our unbelief. I've said it before. I've said it 1,000 times. I cannot meet your standards. I can't even meet my own standards. How in the hell am I going to meet your standards? But by the act of presenting myself a living sacrifice, I then, by definition, by law, I have become holy. The next word is acceptable. Why am I then acceptable? I'm acceptable to God. I never again worry whether I'm accepted by God. If I never again worry if I'm accepted by God, how in the hell can I worry whether I'm accepted by an individual? Do you have an inkling yet that I really don't care what people think about me? What?
That just made me chuckle. I don't know why.
Inkling quietly.
I mean, but that's, believe it or not, that's what faith is. That's the evidence of faith. Your heart is circumcised. You're a true Jew, and you no longer require the praise or you worry about the rejection of men. Now that's your heritage tonight. You don't have to be worrying about what somebody thinks of you. You don't have to worry about pleasing your mate. You know, am I acceptable to my wife or husband? Am I a good wife? Will I make a good wife? I think I'd make a pretty good wife.
Dwight
thinks so. Morning Bible study is rather interesting.
That's so funny.
Like the host of the rabbis.
That's right.
Acceptable. Holy and acceptable. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love this one. Reasonable is, the word is logizomai. It means the highest that reason can attain. And service is the word, what's the apricot pick? Laetril? Well, the Hebrew word is the Greek word is like that. I always get it confused with the apricot, but it means, it's a technical term that means the act of holy service within the temple. By the act of simply presenting yourself the living sacrifice, you become holy, acceptable unto God, reach the highest that reason can attain, even unto the highest reason can attain inside the temple. Now that's the truth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God because you're in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what the condition of it looks like to anyone else on the face of the earth. Okay. School's out. Enough said. This is where, see, when I knew this from the I knew everything that I just said from the moment I became a believer. So I just was going to be a lone ranger out taking pot shots. I didn't want to teach. I intuited that teaching and having a bunch of people around me was the worst possible thing that could happen to me. So for 5 years I tried not to. 4 years, 4.5 years. I have to be very careful about these time periods.
Exactly. 34.
Now you've gone month by month. Because
I knew how scary it was to have a bunch of people look to you for spiritual guidance. Mm-hmm. Didn't I, Matt?
I don't know. All I remember is just...
No, I'm talking about your present condition.
What? Where?
What are you talking about?
What?
Like hands laid on to teach?
Yeah, what about that?
You're fearless, man.
Matt's fearless.
He really is.
He's fearless.
Clueless.
So then what?
So, yeah, then what?
Clueless. Rebel without a clue.
Get your partner in crime to tell you
what.
What
are they laughing at?
Say what? She worked there.
Which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. The word world there is the word aeon, and it means all value systems, all political systems, all ethical or religious systems. All man-made systems at any time, any age, be not conformed to this world. The test, that's why it's so vital, the test of what you think you believe, it must be duplicatable in every environment, in every place, at every time. If what we are saying cannot be duplicated in every environment, in every place, in every time, then we are being conformed to this world as opposed to being not conformed to this world. And if at another level, that's one of the only things that Satan is doing in the church. He's making them be subject to this world or subject to a particular time. He loves it when Got American Christians, Americans. He also loves it when he has radical Christians. He loves it with when any, it doesn't matter whether you're Americanity or some, you know, some other radical agenda. It doesn't matter. Either both of them are the same side, they're different sides of the same coin. Be not conformed to this world. Any part, any value system. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed is a very technical word in the Greek. It's metamorpho. And it's only used, it's used here and it's used one other place, and it was used as the word that was translated as transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's be you transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing is a word that's it's a great word. It means a gradual conforming to that which has already been. And what's the conforming? What's the process that's taking place within you? What's the one continuum that causes this process to take place? It's finished. You must bring every thought to that altar. If a thought or an idea or a condition that you think about, if it doesn't meet the standard of it is finished, then it doesn't meet the standard of the cross. Therefore, you're not in a state of renewing your mind. You're simply in a state of trying to protect this old closed system. There is not one idol that you have within you that can stand the test of it is finished. You understand? Mm-hmm. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The word prove there is another very technical word. It means test. What it means that the word literally means to be put to the test for the purposes of approving. That you may prove. You're being put to the test not for the purposes of being disapproved, which your mind says. Your mind thinks every time a test comes, every time chastisement comes, you believe that its purpose is to punish you. But God says, that's not what's happening. What God said is that your mind is being renewed so that you can be put to the test for the purposes of approving. That you may prove what? What is that good? An acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Only one, Jesus Christ. By that process and that process exquisitely, you are being conformed to the image of Christ. And by the foolishness of preaching, you are being saved. And by the process of exhorting, you are brought to repentance. You understand? You can never learn anything spiritually. You can only unlearn what came out of the value system of that closed system you were grown up in. Slowly but surely, the closed system. And you really love this closed system. Do you understand? You love it. It's very comfortable. It's safe. It's whatever you've made it. And it's got all kinds of dumb stuff in there. But at least it's my dumb stuff.
But it's absolutely totally dependent on time, place, culture. Mm-hmm. It's dependent on all those things.
That's right.
It's not movable. It's a totally local thing.
Right. There's no your little in your environment, your closed system, the thing it hates most is to be interrupted. Now, for some, your closed system may be movable. You understand? You can go to Phoenix, or you can go to San Antonio, or you can go to Seattle, or you can go to Dallas, but you take this like system with you. Where's mommy?
Oh man, what a cheap shot.
What a shot.
Oh, scores.
I wondered when the 45 was going to come out.
I thought he was going to say Coppell.
No, he was building. I could tell by the location. Yeah.
The sites were specific. Yeah, we're not.
Boy, when my mom hears about this, Ollie, you're going to be sorry.
She'll see you at the flagpole.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the thing that's so wonderful, and you don't see it in yourselves, but I do, that as this love is being perfected, as it's being tested by the passage of time and circumstance and really terrible things, that it's casting out all fear. Step by step by step by step. Of course, never in the history of the universe has there been a group so slow as this one.
Or I might add, but then never has it been.
Yeah, or I might add, it's fearful to start with. This one.
Good point. Of course, never has there been such a bad rabbi either. But
yeah, but he's one.
Perfected love has cast out all fear. Perfected, perfect. It means simply fully tested. You know, and it's, again, everything that we are about encourages the test. I pray. If it isn't, I hope you'll tell me. If we are not about encouraging the test, then we are in opposition to the will of God. And that's what's so crazy. That's what they hate about me more than anything in this depositions. Because everything I say is, well, it needs to be tested. They just can't stand it. And, I mean,
how many witnesses do you have on that one?
They, well, I don't feel like talking anymore. I'm just, I've never been this exhausted.